and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. What a sad verse. God is looking for men. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. It is said regarding the church today that men are looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men. Men are looking for more machinery, but God is looking for better men. Men are looking for more ministries, but God is looking for better men. Men are looking for better medicine, but God is looking for men. Men are looking for more money, but God is looking for better men. I sought for a man. I sought for a man. God says, I'm looking just for one man. It's up to the men. If you'll turn back to Ezekiel 13 and verse number 5. Again, the prophet says, you have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. He's talking about the gaps and says, you haven't gone up into the gaps. You haven't stood in the battle in the day of the Lord. There was once a young pastor in Chicago named William Merrill. He was a fundamental preacher back in the early 1900s. He was a Presbyterian. And he and some other Presbyterian preachers began to become quite concerned over the condition of the men in their churches. As the men became more and more apathetic, more and more indifferent, and more involved in the things of this world that were not necessarily eternal. Back then they had a publication, it was called The Continental, and one of the preachers challenged another pastor, William Merrill, to write a poem that could possibly shake up and wake up some of the men of the day. And in 1911, almost 100 years ago, he wrote this poem. He said, rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. The church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God. I want to use the first two sentences of that poem today for the title of my message. They are, rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Have done with lesser things. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 16. And I'd like to encourage us men today, and this isn't just for fathers. I know it's Father's Day, but all men, all you boys, I believe the word of the Lord is for you today. Have done with lesser things. I want to encourage you to learn what the statement means when we paraphrase this verse in verse 18 that says, do not sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the temporal. Learn what that means. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not on the things which are seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Perhaps next to that verse in your Bible, write the words, "Do not sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the temporal." The eternal is what is important for us men. It is important for us to spend our short little lives, described as a vapor that appears for a little while, then disappears. It's very important that we spend that little time doing eternal things and realizing that often the temporal are the enemies of the best. One man early in his life made a statement of how he felt. That statement would later change his life and his direction. He said these words, and I wrote them down, and I've never forgotten it. Early in life, he made this statement about himself. He said, "My greatest fear in life is that I will succeed in something that is not important." My greatest fear in life is that I will succeed in something that is not important. That fear altered his life. That fear altered his calling, his direction. And from that point on, Dr. Clayton Schumpert gave his life to the Lord. And in his case, and it's not always in the case, but in his case, God led him to be a foreign missionary. And today, although way up in years, he continues to serve the Lord as a missionary and a director of a missions board that's sending out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people out onto the mission field to do the Lord's work and reaching souls and planting churches in places where the gospel has not yet gone. That statement affects me. I hope it will affect you. I believe it's him simply saying what the songwriter meant when he said, "Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Don't be involved in lesser things. My greatest fear is that I will succeed in something that is not important. Have done with lesser things." In the church that I was saved in, that little country church, they used to have this saying up on the wall. It was about that big. It was all worn out. I could tell it had been there for decades and decades. But I'll never forget it. I can still remember the font, the print, the style of the letters. But it said these words. It said, "One life, 'twill soon be past. Only what is done for Christ will last." That affected me. We need to do the eternal, men. The church needs men who will do the eternal. "Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great." Be careful of lesser things. Have done with lesser things. I cannot say the words I'm about ready to say without offending people. But I feel I have to say them anyways. I don't think it's the Lord's will that we as men of God be involved in clubs and organizations in our communities. I don't believe it should be us running the sports leagues in our communities and the little leagues. I don't believe it is us who should be in the music programs of our communities, or leading the Boy Scouts or the Cub Scouts. I don't think it's our place to be in the Grange or the Lions Club or the VFW or the American Legion or the Kiwanis or the Moose or the Elk or the Masons. I don't believe it is for us to be involved in the worldly entertainment of this day, the television and the movies and the hobbies. I don't believe it should be us who take our affections and give them to all of the sports that are going down in this world. I don't think it is for us as men of God to have our whole life and being and motive that of money making and business and home. And I don't think it is for us either as men of God to have our families first before our Lord. Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength unto the King of Kings. We live in a day where we hear a lot about family first. This doctrine is not taught in the Scriptures. We're taught in the book of 1 Corinthians. It even tells us that those of you that have wives, be as though you had none, because the time is short, and many have never heard the gospel. God's work must go on. I love the family. But I believe the best thing any man can do for his wife, I believe the best thing any man can do for his children, is to put the Lord first, and to be a man of God that his wife and his children can follow. Many of these things that I've mentioned today are very, very good things. But for those of you that have spiritual discernment and have walked with the Lord for a while, know that often good things are the enemies of the best. And the best is the Lord. One day a man gave up everything for the Lord, and he was called a fool. His relatives and his friends called him a fool for giving his life to the Lord. He also, and this is not the case with every man that gives his life to the Lord, he also was led by God to be a missionary. And he went to the mission field. And he gave his life on the mission field. The very people he went to win to Christ killed him. Murdered him. But as he was being criticized and during his years of preparation and before he went, this missionary named Jim Elliot made another statement that powerfully affects me and affects us as men. When they were calling him a fool for giving up everything for Christ, he said these words, and I think they're immortal. He said, "He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." What was he saying? Have done with lesser things. And he and a friend and their two wives went to the Aucca Indians in South America. And shortly after, he and his friend were murdered. His wives came back to the state for a short furlough, but decided that their husbands had sowed the seed of the gospel among those people with their own blood. And those women went back to the very people who murdered their husbands and led them to Christ and started a revival in that area. And when you get to heaven, you'll see him walking around with the martyr's crown on his head. He's no fool. There is no man who is a fool who gives up what he can't keep to gain what he cannot lose. And I have a fear as the pastor of this church that there are some men among us who are beginning to get involved in lesser things. And that your fervency for the Lord and your fire for the Lord is beginning to wane. And you're beginning to get involved in this outside of the church and this outside. And there's a lot of good things outside of the church that help our communities, but let the unsaved run them. We have so few men of God. We have so few who are giving their all to the Lord today. And the churches in our communities are fledgling. And we've got to have some men of God. Brother Chris back there, you're not a fool, brother. You're not a fool. I thank God for young men who want to give the best and the brightest and the strongest years of their life to our worthy Lord. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth, clad in salvation's full armor. Join in the battle for truth. We need young men. I'm so glad it was at the age of 21 I dedicated my life to the Lord. I'm in my 50s now, and I'm beginning to realize that some of my physical strength is waning. Some of my even mental capacity is waning, Brother Nugent. I can't remember the scriptures as much. I can't. It's harder to memorize. But I'm so glad when so many my age, 21 and 22, were giving their lives to partying and giving their lives to womenizing and giving their lives to sports and giving their lives to lesser things. God got a hold of my heart and I answered His call. And I'll never regret that. My only regret is that I haven't done 10 times more for my Lord today. But I thank God for the day I gave up lesser things. I would have loved back then to be involved in the sports clubs of the community. I would have loved back then to give myself to some of the music programs. I love music and I love sports and so on and so forth, but I had to conclude that those were lesser things. And there are times when God asks us to give up that which we love for the Lord who gave all for us. And I want to put out a passion plea today for some of you young men. We've had so many young men and young ladies that have come up in this church and have gone the direction of lesser things. They have not served our Lord. And someday, I fear, when they're in their 50s, in their 60s and 70s, and their bodies are broken down, and there's many, many complications in their life because of their wrong choices and their wrong decisions and their wrong relationships, and God's going to get a hold of their heart, but by then they won't be able to give of their best to the Lord. I'm so glad I didn't make that mistake. Thank the Lord for Pastor Seth here today and just giving of the best of his youth. And he's starting to have a few physical problems himself. And I thank the Lord for other young men and young ladies in this church that literally, in some cases, I think they literally run this church. They're so faithful behind the scenes. Thank God for some of you men and women, too, that have just taken lesser things and said, I can't be involved in these things. Not that they're bad, but they're not the best. Once in a while, turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. Once in a while, a little kid will come up to me and ask me to sign his Bible, or sign her Bible. I don't know where or when that got started. I guess I'm all right with it. I suppose if they're going to have heroes, there's nothing wrong with preachers and missionaries in this day and age. Amen? But whenever I do that, I almost always write this verse under my name, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Amen? That he died for all. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. What's Paul saying here? He's saying, have done with lesser things. Don't live unto yourselves. But it only makes sense, Paul says, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Glance back at verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. We're going to labor to be accepted of God. That's what we should be doing. That's what men should be doing. That's what women should be doing. Labor. We don't have many days left to labor. We need to give of our youth. You never know how much time you have left. Back in 1858, there was a fine young man. He was an evangelist. He had a church in Philadelphia that he was pastoring. And at the same time, he would preach every day at the noonday services at the downtown YMCA, and it began to attract great crowds. His name was Dudley Ting, T-Y-N-G, Dudley Ting. He was 29 years of age. On March the 30th of 1858, he was preaching at the noonday YMCA. There was such a hunger among the men in our country at that time for the word that 5,000 men showed up at noon to hear the Bible preached. America was once like that. At the end of his preaching, he gave an invitation. 1,000 of those men came to know Christ as their Savior. His text that day was Exodus 10 and verse 11, which says, "Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord." Go now, ye that are men, serve the Lord. The next day, he was doing visitation for his church, and he was out in the country visiting some of the folks that attended the church, and these folks had a corn threshing machine in the barn. He went into the barn to see the corn threshing machine. It was one of those old corn threshing machines where the donkeys were used to pull a long pole, and they just kept going around and around and around in circles, and the pole attached to wheels that would grind the grain. There were different cogs and so on and so forth in the wheels. And as Dudley Ting reached out to pet one of the donkeys on the head, his arm got caught into one of the cogs and the machine ripped his arm off of his body. He was rushed to a hospital for care, and he would live for 4 more days before gangrene set in and they had to amputate the arm close to the shoulder. But the shock to his system proved fatal, and this young great preacher went home to be with the Lord at the end, age of 29. One of his preacher friends, George Duffield, came to the hospital to visit him. The reporter asked George Duffield what it was that he said and what were his dying words. And George saw Dudley's father next to him, and Dudley reached out with his other hand and grabbed his father's hand. And his dying words to his father was, "Dad, stand up for Jesus. And tell all the men to stand up for Jesus." George Duffield was so moved by that that he was asked to speak at the funeral of Dudley Ting. And he used as his text Ephesians 6:14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, and having done all to stand." And he ended his message that day by saying that Dudley Ting had inspired him to write this poem. And George Duffield wrote these words, "Stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him. Against unnumbered foes let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching under prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor song. To him that overcometh, the crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Later that poem was put to music. It's been one of the most powerful songs challenging men. Ye that are men now serve him. Be done with lesser things. Put heart and soul and mind and strength into the King of Kings. A writer once said about Dudley King and George Duffield, courageous people stand up for that which is important to them. They stand up for their rights. They stand up for their families. Soldiers stand up for their country, even ready to sacrifice their lives in war. A Christian is called to stand up for Jesus. May we, with courage and an unfaltering commitment, in the time of testing, stand up for Jesus Christ. In closing, turn to Romans chapter number 12. Another poet challenges us men this morning. Isaac Watts. He asks introspectively a question we need to ask in leaving this morning. Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would win. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil. Endure the pain, supported by thy word. I know everyone can't receive this message today. I believe God's calling some of you men back from lesser things. Rise up, O men of God. There's so few of us. The church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to the task. Rise up and make her great. We could use dozens and dozens of more men around here. They have one fire in their belly, and that's for God. We could have men who've taken their abilities and use them on lesser things to convert our property into some ministries for children, for teens. Have some athletic games, if you will. Stop the game at halftime and preach Christ to boys and girls. Put up some basketball rims. Get some basketball players together. Stop the game at halftime and preach Christ to the boys, to the girls. Take musical ability. Have the best music program a church could possibly have for the glory of God. Work with children. Go to the prisons. Go to the nursing homes. They'd like us to find men to go up to Hopevale. The women go every week to the girls. There's boys up there that just have no hope. Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. In Romans 12. We'll close with this, verses 1 and 2. I wish these weren't so familiar. I wish we were reading them for the first time. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word prove. Prove it. God tells all men to prove it. A man can say, I'm called to the ministry. God says, prove it. I believe God would have me to work with children. God says, prove it. Have me to work with teens or prisoners or in the nursing home. God says, prove it. We need an army of men that'll just go out into the community and be a witness. Pass out tracts, talk to the lost about Jesus Christ. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God. Let's bow our heads. I fear some of you that were once so on fire for our God are become distracted with lesser things. Some who used to attend services more faithfully have become attracted with lesser things. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. It seems the devil will always have lesser things for us to do, even good things. Even community-oriented things. Even things that help our neighborhoods be better. But if all we do is improve our communities and neighborhoods through programs, all we're doing, brethren, is sending people to hell in class. If they're not born again. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Our Father, help us as men. I know some are not to the point of their spiritual development to receive a message like this. But I believe, Lord, you would be talking to some men today about changing some things in their lives. And this would be the day, as much as they love it, where they're going to have to give up some lesser things to serve the King of Kings. We sure need men like that. God help us. Help us with our decisions now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing page 500.